Who am I? We want to look at some different passages and fill in those blanks there. Before we get started, though, I wanted to take and remind me of who am I. I mean, thinking about a couple little animals that were out in the desert. They had lost their mother, and they were trying to figure out who they were. This one came up to, and met up with the other one and said, "Now, if I describe myself to you, can you tell me what I am?" And they said, "Sure." So the one took and he just started describing him. He says, "You got long ears." He says, "You got a pink nose. You got a fluffy tail." He says, "And you hop around." He said, "Oh," he says, "I must be a bunny." He said, "Absolutely, you are." He said, the other one said, "Now, can you describe me?" He said, "Well," he says, "you got beady eyes." He says, "You got diamonds all over." He says, "You're slick and you slither along." He says, "Oh," he says, "I must be a TV evangelist." As we look at some of the following verses, you will not only see who you are in Christ. That's what we want to take and think about in this day, is I want to direct you to none other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is everything. He's the difference in our lives. He's one that can change our communities. He can change our state, our government. He can change that of our world around us. And he's doing that even right now, one by one in people's lives. And so as we think about who we are in Christ, these will also be some verses that I believe will be helpful in your Christian life there to be victorious. Because you know what? We are not over. We're not defeaters. We haven't been defeated, but we are overcomers, the scriptures tell us. And so, therefore, we are victorious in Christ. So who am I in Christ Jesus? Well, let's begin in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Matthew chapter 5. In verse 13, we find these words, Matthew 5:13 says, "I am, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." The one thing that we find right here is the first thing in Christ. Who am I? I am the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. So I was thinking about that, the fact that I am the salt of the earth. What comes to your mind when you think about salt? What does it do? What part does it have? Preserve, okay. What else? Pardon me? Flavor, okay. Flavors, what else? Think about salt. Melts ice, okay. Yeah, the forms of a preservative, yes. Very much as I think about that. Pardon? Yes, it does. You know, when I stop and I think about that of salt, it does enhance. It provides that enhanced flavor on a dish. You know, oftentimes you sit down at the table or in the restaurant and you have the salt and pepper shaker. Why do you have those there? There's plenty of salt already in most foods that you have, and preservative is already part of it. But you know what? We want to enhance that flavor. We like that flavor. And so we stop and we think about that of salt. Salt has that, it provides that enhancement. It also protects. You know, we look at those things that, when I was thinking about that of protection that it brings about, keeps it from rotting, right? We look at those things in the earlier days. What did they do? They usually packed things in salt. The food was kept in many places still today in third world countries where there isn't the opportunity to have that of electricity and the privilege that we have here. They pack it in salt as a preservative. And so we find there also it keeps things. Yet now as I stop and I think about that, I am the salt of the earth. I began looking at those things and yes. Yeah, salt does the healing there. They take and it will use it as a means of healing as well. So when we stop and we think about that, when he says the fact that in Christ I am the salt of the earth, when we begin looking at those things, I begin seeing myself and the responsibility that I have, as well as you have, to enhance what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? People are watching us. Whether you want to be watched or not, people are watching you. People are looking at how you respond to things, how you react when the pressure's on. You know, when it's at that boiling point in the job and the situation, when it's at the school and you have that choice to make a right decision or wrong decision, what are you going to do? You're at that crossroad. And sometimes that crossroad is only in a split second, a moment. How are we going to take and do? Are we going to be the salt that's going to enhance that of the gospel and testify for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when we received Him, He doesn't let go of us. Once we're saved, we're always saved. Amen? And so therefore, in Christ, I am the salt. But you know what? I also can have a healing effect with the people that I come in contact. Oh, Desmond, a great verse for you to take and have in regards with that of loving your neighbor or those individuals, your enemies that you hate, is jot down Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Okay, Desmond, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. And go there and look up that verse. He says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. That's what I'm to do. That's the response. How can I do it? I can only do it because Christ lives within me. I can only demonstrate that toward other people because the natural thing is to take in our hands flex pretty quick there. We're ready to punch them in the lights there. That doesn't solve the problem. We look at those things, and so in light of that, who am I? I am the salt of the earth. Yet as we look at those things in Matthew chapter 5, we see not only am I the salt of the earth, but I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Right outside of our auditorium before we walk right in, we have placed a lighthouse. I placed that lighthouse picture there for a reason. Because I want us, as we walk into that auditorium and as we walk out of that auditorium, we are to be a light. In Christ, what kind of light are you demonstrating? Now, you know as well as I do, there's different types of light. There's from the LED lights to that of the mag lights to those, you know, those big ones that they've taken in. It sends forth light. Magnitude. It enhances in lights. You know, I couldn't help but as I was thinking about this, and the Lord laying upon my heart and who I am and what I have in Christ, I began thinking about that of the light. What does the light do? What does the light do? Pardon? It illuminates. Okay, that's right. What else? Sheds out darkness. Okay.
It reveals.
It does. It reveals. What else? It leads. It guides. Right? Directs. When down in the, we've gone off to camp before. I've done some camping. You know, at night, the lights aren't all lit up as you're at home in the house there where you can take and do that. But what do you take along with you on your camping trip? Most people do this. They take along a flashlight. Why do they take the flashlight? Because they want to see where they're going down that pathway and to be able to get to their destination there. So it reveals, it opens up, it directs, it guides. What else?
Comforting.
It's comforting, isn't it? You know, we stop and we look at that, and light brings about that of a softness, of a surety that comes to it. What else? The thing about that of light. As I was thinking about that in the light in the Lord Jesus Christ that I have, I am that light. And that light is that of, it does give us direction. And what am I doing to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Once again, my action, my life. What am I demonstrating? What are you demonstrating? Well, I'll give them a piece of their mind. They deserve it. The way they treated those people or treated me. And so when we stop and we look at that, I am directing people one way or another, just as you are. Some of you, you say, well, my family. You know what? I have lived and my folks, my dad passed away when he was 53 years old. I was 19 years old back in 1983. And I had a chance there to talk with my father about the Lord Jesus Christ and to encourage him to take and to receive Christ. He said, son, said, when I was a little kid, he said, I did something like that. I said, but dad, said, if that's the case, there's a change that takes place. There's a new man in you. There is going to be a difference. And yet, dad, I haven't seen that. He said, well, son, he said, I've done that in church thing. That isn't for me. I've been in the military. I served in the military. I lived there. And he said, I've been in it for 25 years. People tell me what to do and what I can't do. But you know what the reality of the fact is, folks? As long as we live, there's somebody telling us what to do. So I asked the question, who would I rather have telling me what to do than none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God? Amen? So the Word of God directs me. It gives me a direction of life. It also is mentioned there, the Word of God takes and it dispels that of the darkness that is within. You know, the darkness that shows you walk into a room and it's dark. And all of a sudden, you that little toggle switch, just a minute little change, less than a half inch, and all of a sudden, it can make a night and day difference in one's life. It dispels darkness. It removes it completely. Yet we look at those things and I think about that of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. And He's taken away that darkness. And He wants to do the same thing in your life there. Am I perfect? I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that I'm perfect, but I am not perfect. This side of glory I will not, nor will you be perfect. But I tell you what, when the Word of God begins to penetrate the heart of man, it does dispel that of darkness. It takes away that of darkness. And it changes our heart's desire, just as it's changed your life. And it's changed mine, for which I'm grateful for. It reveals, oh yes, or enlarges, is what I think about that. It reveals, as a brother shared with us, what do? When they want to look into that of a piece of pottery, they'll take with a piece of pottery, they'll hold it up into the sunlight. Why do they hold it up into the sunlight? Because as they take that piece of pottery, they're checking to see if there's any flaws, if there's any cracks. On the outside, it appears like everything is good. There's no problems with it. But down inside, hidden in there, it is broken. It is invaluable. It becomes there of no value. Because once you find that crack, that flaw in there, it is worthless. But as they hold it up to the light and it dispels that there's no crack, that it was without flaws, what happens? The value of it goes up. And so we look at those things and we find, yes, that is what it does. It places us. You know what? In Christ, as it takes and it reveals to me, it shows me where I need to grow. By the way, as I was growing up, and it's just like as a child, as walking with my three children, I've learned this, is that you can't give them five things at one time and expect them to do all five of them and do it right away. What happens? You take one area, you work in your life. Did you start walking, talking, chewing, and everything at one time? Absolutely not. Now stop and think about this. Take this simple truth right here, folks. That's the same way in our Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want everybody instantaneously to be spiritual and mature like we are today. But how long has it taken you to grow? How long has it taken you to grow? You know what? We're so apt to take, and we need it with those family members, with those friends, those co-workers, is to help them to show the gospel, teach them the truth, what the scriptures have to say, and then live it out and be praying for them that they would develop and they grow. What happens when we gain victory in an area? God has something else, does He not? At least in my life, that's what He did. You know, God revealed to me that of taking control of my mouth. As a young man, we lived in a family where that was cursing was fluent. It just came out just like water, slick. Oh, and I look at those things, and yet my dad in the military, you know, that was fluent in that. We had a second language. It wasn't a language that was pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a teenager, I began looking and realizing the Spirit of God began convicting me and saying, hey, these things ought not to be part of your life. What does God begin to do? He reveals that. Hey, you know what? You just took your name. You just took my name in vain. Oh, by the way, you know what? Have you stopped to listen to what you just said? We think we're some cool person, and I've dealt with teens. I was a youth pastor for 5 years there at Eastside Baptist Church with my father-in-law, and talking to teens, you know, the macho man is that of, hey, you know, listen to this line that I can go. Have you ever stopped to listen to how stupid it sounds? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Using double negatives. You can't take and do that. In the English language, it does not make sense. And yet we're so proud to be one of those individuals that's got that second language that is appalling to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what Christ does in our life, He can give you victory over it. But it begins by taking control. James, the book of James, if you have a struggle with that, and I don't know you folks, okay? But I'm telling you, if that is the case there, I want you to know that you can have victory because God gave me victory over that as a young man, and that has not come out of my mouth, for which I am very grateful. And to God be the glory. But if you're here and you profess to know Christ as your personal Savior, then you are a light. And by the way, there's much hypocrisy that's placed upon men because of individuals that say, yeah, I know Christ. I witnessed one man, and yet they turn around and they take his name in vain and they cuss like a sailor and they said, wait a second, is this what Christ is all about? No, thanks. Yes, sir. Yes. That's right. Exactly. That's right. Exactly. And that is the variableness there and the turning there. That light, that shadow casts out the difference and shows where, you know, and God isn't there just looking down and saying, okay, I want to make your life miserable. I want you to feel horrible that I'm a terrible person. No, that's not my purpose here this morning, nor is it Christ's purpose. What He wants us to do is that when we are set free from those bondages, those shadows in our life, what does it do? It gives us the freedom to live and to exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants from us as His children. Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. Yes. And from the inside out is the key there. From the inside out. Because from the outside in, what happens to the outside, it will soon tarnish, it will soon fade. But when Christ is within and shining forth, it endures. It's like that of the hymn writer penned the words, the lower light. We find that of the men that was out there on the sea. They were on the sea looking for hope. I don't know how many of you have been out in the middle of a body of water where you could not see land. I've been out on Lake Michigan on the other side of the lake, and we've been out far enough where we couldn't see the land or direction which way we were going. Wait, we went this way? No, we came this way? No, didn't have an idea. And what do you begin looking for? Begin looking for a light. You begin looking for hope. You begin looking for the shoreline, wanting some to find that surety. And that is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, He is our solid rock, folks. He is our lighthouse. He's the one that draws us unto Himself. As we take this, who am I? I am a light. You know what? Also, we find in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The third thing is, I am a child of God. The moment I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I became a child of God. Now, when we stop and think about that, what's so significant about the fact that we are a child of God? When we think about that, who I am in Christ, I'm a child of God. What's so big about that? Or is there anything big about it? We belong to Him? Absolutely. There are privileges that come as a child. You know what? I'm grateful for my in-laws that allowed me to take and to stay at their place. But you know what? As soon as I became a son-in-law and married to that, my wife, I had some privileges that were bestowed upon me. The opportunity to walk in. You know, I don't have to come knocking at the door when I come to see my mom and my father-in-law, my mother-in-law and father-in-law. When I come to see my mom, I don't knock on the door. What do I do? What do? You walk in. Now, if you weren't one of the children, you might be greeted with something. Something that you don't want to be greeted with there. But you know what? There's privileges that come. The privilege isn't that of only being able to walk in at any time, but I have access to what? Anything. Don't I? Don't you? As a child of God, I have access to all that the Father has. And so do you. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I am entitled. It is there. It is a privilege given to me because of my relationship. You know, as a child also, I begin to take advantage of those inheritance that are given to me immediately. I don't have to wait. As an adult child of God, as a son of God, I begin right now, the day that I receive Jesus Christ, to begin to draw on the inheritance of our Heavenly Father. Doesn't that excite you? It ought to. It ought to bring great joy to your heart. So now then, when we stop and we realize who I am, you're beginning to see the picture of who you are in Christ. We find people that say, yeah, I know Christ, and man, life is rough here. Can't stand it. It's one thing after another. We bark out, we back and forth. That's a little bit on the extreme, but you know what, folks, that's what we are. There are people that that profess and they say, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. And they act like this, you know what? Life is miserable. We have everything in Christ. You know what? I'm not only a child of God, but we find in John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servant. Now that's significant. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I am a friend of God. I'm thankful that I'm not a servant of God. Yes, in regards with that, when He calls me to take and to do a job, yes, I'm ready to do that. But folks, I'm glad today that He is a friend of mine that sticks closer than a brother. The Scriptures tell me. Now the picture there of that of a brother, they say blood is thick, right? It runs in the family there. You can take and two siblings can be at each other's throat, can't stand each other, fighting at each other. But I tell you what, you get a third person from the outside, you've taken a pot shot at one of the brothers or something, and I tell you what, you've got two tigers to handle there. Right? Am I correct with that? Blood is thick there. But you know who sticks closer than a brother? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's even closer than that. Can you imagine that? The closest of bond. And yet He reveals to me. How does He reveal? To me and to you. He reveals through His Word. That is why it is so important, folks, to be in the Word of God regularly. That is why it's important to take and to have that yearning. Yeah, but I read it and I don't get anything out of it. By the way, I don't tell a lot of people, but I I want you to know this one thing. I don't buy that excuse for a moment that you don't get anything from it. Because I tell you what, when the Father wants you to know something, the child, what does He do? He does whatever it's necessary to get you to the information that He wants you to know. Isn't that right? Think about that. The Word of God is not hidden from us. He says, if any man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. And what will He do? He will give it to you. He'll give you the truth. I began as that, I don't tell many, but when I was in kindergarten, first grade, was working with the reading. I'm not as old as what you think I am going to be there. I am 48 years old, but I was in the town where we were at. Outside was a country school, two-room schoolhouse. It was on the last days of it back in the late 60s, and they put it on the National Historical Society place. But I remember taking reading. I'm left-handed, and so part of that, they didn't have a term for it. Today, they call it dyslexia. I read backwards, and I wrote backwards. The first year, year and a half, 2 years of a critical time there. I struggle with it, folks. I tell you this, you know what? I was, until my 11th grade year of high school, was in special ed reading class, this and that. I tell you all this for one thing. Don't tell me for a moment that you cannot understand God's Word, because I tell you what, when you want the Word of God, and you hunger for the Word of God, the Father will not keep it from you. He will reveal it to you. He will give it to you. Yes, did I have to work harder? Yes, I did. You know what? Sometimes I have to read a passage 10 times. What in the world are you saying? So you say, well, you know what, Pastor, you don't understand. I can't hardly read. You know, you bumble over the words. You try to put the words together. It sounds constant. And all those things going through your head. You're like, well, this is just too much here. And then I said, wait a second. God, you have not kept your word from me. Your word is for me. It's for you. I tell you what, the truth of the matter is, I hope I don't offend any, but a lot of times it's just pure, sheer laziness on our part. We live in a world that is so quick and want everything at the fingertips, and we want it right yesterday. Disposable. But I tell you what, the Word of God is alive. And I tell you what, if you want it, He'll give it to you. But you must seek it. You must dig into it. Here we find that a friend sticks closer than a brother. We find here that I am a friend of God. See that as we look at these things, we must kick it into gear here in John 15:16. We find these words, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. Next thing that I find, I am chosen and appointed by God to bear His fruit. I am chosen, and so are you, and appointed by God to bear His fruit. Simply this, what a privilege it is to be a fruit inspector. What a privilege it is to take and to take and handle the fruit of God's Word. And to take, and by the way, something to ponder and to think about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what God wants to demonstrate. Love, joy, peace. 7 fruits there. I think one fruit that's bearing forth, and that is the working of the Holy Spirit of God in us and through us that demonstrates those things. And so we are to bear forth the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. By the way, who did the choosing? God did the choosing. Who appointed us? God appointed us. I can't do it. Tell children that I take and teach from time to time. Can't do anything, but can do all kinds of things there. We can do it as we look to Him and we seek His face there. Well, we find also in Galatians, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 and 15, we'll turn there in Galatians 3:26, and we find that I am a son of God, and so God is my spiritual father. I am a son of God, which we've talked about there as a child of God. I'm a son of God. And therefore, He's my spiritual father. He's the one that takes and gives me the substance that I need for walking in righteousness and godliness. I'm thankful for that this morning. Let's see. Next one. I am an heir. I'm an heir to God, or a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Romans 8:17 says, If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. When you think of an heir, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you think of an heir? Inheritance. Inheritance only, when we stop and we think about inheritance, unlike that of what we think of today, a person must die. Before you can collect on it. But you know what? I'm a joint heir with Christ. And with that means that I have the wonderful privilege of right now, I'm taking in some of the benefits of being a child of God. And so are you. But you know what? It isn't only now, but in the future, the inheritance that I have. Provision. You know what? I can't think of a better place to have a part of an inheritance than to have the inheritance of one that owns everything. Amen? We may not have anything on this earth, but I tell you what, we are filthy rich people in Christ Jesus. Amen? Think about that. Ponder that. When we look at what we don't have and what we really do have in Christ. Well, next thing there I wanted to mention I am the temple of God, or the dwelling place of God. I am the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, I do want to mention those verses there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and verse 20. He says, "What? Know ye not that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are" who? God's. Simply this, folks. I am the temple of God. In other words, I'm the dwelling place. He dwells within me. Therefore, today, as we look at those things, that of tattooing, that of taking and piercing of those things, why would you want to take in, you know what, as a child of God? Would you want to take and mar your body, the temple of God, in such a way like that? Take and distract. You know what that does oftentimes when we pierce and do those things and tattoo? We're taking and we're drawing attention to who? Ourselves. And not to Him. And so therefore you say, well, Pastor, before I was saved, I did these things. Well, you know what? We can't take and there's some of those things you can't change. But I'm talking about in Christ. And that's what we're talking about as a child of God. And you say, well, Pastor, when as a child of God, people don't want to do those things. Yeah, they do, unfortunately, because you know what? The world is pressing upon them. And they think that they've got to conform to the world when He said to be what? Transformed by the renewing of the mind. Be different. Okay, look at that the next one. I am united with Christ. Next one, I am a member of Christ's body. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am one in Christ. I am one in Christ. I am a saint. Like that of Catholicism that looks, takes and digs up, builds up people, yet we find there that in Christ we are a holy one. That's simply what saint means, a holy one. set apart unto God. I am a workman. I am God's workman, His handiwork. We are His handiwork. We're born anew in Christ to do what? His work. In Ephesians 4:24, I am righteous and holy in Christ. In Colossians 3:12, I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. I am one of God's living stones in 1 Peter 2:5, being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. In other words, I'm a living stone. You are a building. You are a part of this ministry. A stone. What part are you doing with it? Next, I am an alien, a stranger to this world in which I temporarily live. This is not my home, folks. We're just passing through. Amen. Praise God for that too. Finally, I am an enemy of the devil. I'm an enemy of the devil. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In closing, the more we reaffirm who we are in Christ, the more our behavior will begin to reflect our true identity. Who are you in Christ?